This morning's scripture reading is Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. It can be found on page 884 in the Pew Bibles. Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. If you're visiting with us, it's great to have you. There are a lot of visitors in churches all across the country, maybe all across the world, and they all have one thing in common. They're all talking about the same subject today. Now, I know that when you visit a church, you cannot help but say, "What did you think of that guy?" on the way home. It's not a criticism. It's just a conversation, an evaluation. And we're going to do some things differently this morning, and you don't even have to have that conversation, because I'm not going to preach a sermon. Yeah, some of you are very excited about that. That's okay. What we normally do here at Trinity Church is we normally take a passage, and it's called an expository sermon. We take a group of sentences and phrases and words, and we do a deep dive into the meaning and really extract all that stuff. And we're not going to do that today. Not only that, but I'm not even going to preach on the passage that Trevor read. Instead, I'm going to invite you to critique a handful of sermons. That's what I'm going to do. We're going to stay here on the surface, but hopefully we'll go broadly and get something out of it. Because everybody across the United States that is a Christian church is talking about the resurrection today. Everybody's preaching a sermon on the resurrection. And so what I thought we would do is go back to the first century church, to go back to right after Jesus ascended into heaven, because these guys that we know as the apostles started preaching. What did they preach about? So we're going to examine seven sermons from the book of Acts. Honestly, 92 verses, and I'm going to do an exposition of every one. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. No, it's interesting that when Jesus is raised from the dead and he ascends into heaven, the disciples begin doing their thing, preaching the gospel. And so I want to invite you to look at the seven sermons that are listed on the back of your bulletin. If you'd like to follow along with me in your pew Bible, you're certainly welcome to do that. There's a typo on the sheet, so there actually are 92 verses that make up these passages. However, we're not going to look at every single one. What I want to do is I want to critique some preachers. I want to say, what is this message about? What's the theme? What are the points? Does he use 3 points in a poem? I mean, what were they doing in the first century? I think it's interesting. So let's take a look at the first one, which is by Peter, and it's in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and it's found in Acts 2, 22 to 32. we read in verse 22, men of Israel. So he's speaking to Jews. Hear these words. And the topic, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. That's an interesting first point. You killed. Great way to win the audience. And then we have in the next verse, you crucified and killed, but God raised him up. Verse 24, God raised him up. You killed, God raised. Loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Incredible. Verse 25, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. And therefore my tongue was glad, my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope. You will not abandon my soul to undergo decay, etc., etc., etc. And what we finally read is that we are witnesses of these things. That seems to be the three points of his message. You killed, God raised, we are witnesses. Okay. So it's talking about the resurrection. That's kind of central. And those are the three points. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 3, 12 through 26. It's Peter again. And this time, the apostles have healed a lame man, and he is speaking to Jews after healing this lame man. And we read in verse 11 of chapter 3, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. And when Peter saw it, he saw a crowd, so he had to preach. He addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we've made him walk? God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed him. And this opening point is tough. You killed the author of life. But, next phrase, whom God raised from the dead, and to this we are witnesses. Now, wait a minute. He had just preached this sermon. So what? He didn't have time to prepare. He's going to go back to it. You killed, God raised, we're witnesses. Okay, fair enough. Maybe he just didn't want to expand a whole lot. But then these guys are arrested and they go before the Sanhedrin to explain the healing of the lame man. And this is the passage. It's not supposed to be 8 through 12. It's supposed to be 8 through 20. But let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That seems to be a common theme in these early sermons, the resurrection from the dead. And then we read in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, then let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Here it is again. You remember him, the one you killed, the one you put on the cross. And not only that, that's the first point. We're moving quickly to the second one. You killed and God raised. God raised him from the dead. And by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Slip over to verse 19, and he says, but Peter and John answered them, because they didn't want, they commanded him, we don't want you get putting his blood on our doorstep anymore. So they said, stop talking in his name. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. What are you when you speak about what you've seen and heard? A witness. And so here's his three-point sermon. You killed, and it's a really particular you because it's the Sanhedrin. You killed, God raised, we are witnesses. Are you starting to notice a theme here? Acts chapter 5, 27 to 32, a much shorter passage, but let's take a look at that. Acts 5. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. So they threw them in jail, and an angel let them out of jail, and so they brought them back in before the Sanhedrin. So they're talking to the same guys that they just left. You would think that they would want to go into in a different direction, say something maybe a little bit differently. But they don't do that. What we read is this. 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you are. You've filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And here's his little message. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. What did he just tell them before? You killed, God raised, we are witnesses. And he's not just saying when he speaks to the Sanhedrin and he speaks to the people, we apostles, we disciples. He's saying we, everybody. No, nobody missed this. This wasn't done in secret. You all saw it. So he's referring to something that happened in history. He's referring to an historical event, the death and resurrection of Jesus that other people saw. Now, it's very interesting when you think about this little trio of points, you killed, God raised, we are witnesses, because it's on Friday that we reflected on his death, you killed. And death is about separation. We're separated from God. Our body is separated from our spirit. But when God raises, our hope is about a reunion, because we will follow in his footsteps. He was reunited, body and soul, with a resurrected body, and that's what we anticipate too. You know, it's interesting when we read the Gospels on the other side of Easter. I mean, the day is on our calendars. We can look forward to it. We forget how hard it must have been for the disciples to believe. And it wasn't the empty tomb that convinced them. No, the empty tomb only demonstrated he's not here, not he is risen. How did they come to the conclusion that he is risen? Because they had intimate, personal contact with the one who was their master for 3 years over the next 6 weeks. The disciples and over 500 people saw him, touched him, ate with him, spoke with him. You killed. God raised. We are witnesses. Let's keep going. We're zipping through this. You know, you might have an early lunch. You might get into the restaurant early. Acts chapter 10, we're still in Peter's wheelhouse, but this time he's not in Jerusalem. He's not before the Sanhedrin. Now he is at Cornelius's house. Cornelius was a God-fearing centurion. And what we're going to learn here is that God has not just provided salvation for the Jews, but he's also opening up salvation for the Gentiles. And here's what we read. Let's take a look at 37 through 39 to start off. You yourselves know what was happening throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did. So, interesting. He takes his third point and he puts it first. Radical change. Here it is. We're witnesses, but guess what? He tacks it on at the end too. He bookends it. He opens with we are witnesses. He closes with we are witnesses. Well, what in the world does he put in between? Well, this is what he says. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. And not only that, but made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. What are the 3 points of this sermon? You killed, God raised, we are witnesses, and we are witnesses. Remember, we were witnesses of all this, of the fact that you killed him, of the fact that God raised him. We are witnesses. Good job, Peter. Peter goes out, says he's going to stick with Christ forever. He doesn't. He denies him 3 times. And then Jesus says to him, he says, after you have come back, strengthen your brethren. Did he? His name is found 70 times in the book of Acts because he came back just like Christ predicted. He failed, but he wasn't a total failure. He wasn't a flop. So let's switch over to Paul and we'll jump into Acts chapter 13. This is the next to the last one we're going to look at. But let's take a look at Acts 13, beginning with verses 13 and 14. I often put the scripture on my notes, so I don't frequently have a Bible up here. I mean, it's probably been years since I've actually had a Bible because I put the scripture in my notes, and then I can control the size of the font. I have noticed that over the years, the type is shrinking. I don't know if it's miraculous. It might just be a natural thing. But in any case, you wonder why I'm going like this. It's because I'm looking for it. Acts 13, verse 13. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway. No, that's not it, is it? Oh, that's 12. We don't care about Rhoda. Acts 13:13. Now, Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. So they're in Pisidia and Antioch. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down, and after reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to the same brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So, Paul stood up. He did have a word. Let's go to, he goes through a mini history of the nation of Israel. He does it in like 3 minutes. If you read this out loud, it's like 3 minutes. It's the whole history of Israel. And what he does, though, is he just does that to set up his point, his first point, which is found in verse 28. And though they found in him, referring to Jesus, no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed, to have him killed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. So they killed Jesus. And then here's our famous, but God raised him from the dead. Same thing. Same thing. You killed. God raised. And then we have in verses 30 and 31, God raised, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses among the people. Here it is again, 6 sermons in a row. If I preached 6 sermons in a row, 6 weeks in a row, with the same points, you killed, God raised, we are witnesses, I would no longer be the interim pastor, my interim would be over them. This guy has no creativity whatsoever. Well, we're going to get a little variation on our theme. Let's look at one more in Acts chapter 17 with Paul. Again, it's interesting. Paul was just speaking, and he's about to continue speaking. And at the heart of Paul's teaching in the epistles in the New Testament is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised on the third day. That's Friday. That's today. These two great facts, the death and resurrection of Jesus, are not fairy tales. They're not mythology. They are attested historical facts. Jesus died. Jesus rose. The fact of Jesus' death was demonstrated by his burial. The fact of Jesus' resurrection is evidenced by his resurrection appearances, including to the Apostle Paul. And that's why Paul is motivated. And he goes to Greece. I was a Greek and Roman history major in college. I always wanted to go to Greece. Nobody ever offered to pay my way. Yet. And we read that Paul is in Athens. So 16 through 18, now Paul was waiting for his friends in Athens. His spirit was provoked because he saw the city was full of idols. So he went into the synagogue first, and he reasoned with the Jews and devout persons. And then in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. And then there were Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who also conversed with him. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? And others said, well, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. Same central point. Now, what we find in verses 30, 31, and 32 that he goes in a little bit of a different direction because he's no longer speaking to Jews. He's no longer speaking to Jews who are in authority. He's speaking to pagans. He's speaking to philosophers. And so he says in verse 30, the times of ignorance that God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So there's the call to action, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given an assurance to all by raising him from the dead. He is witnessing. He doesn't say we're all witnesses because the people in Athens weren't there, but at the center of his message is this same thing, and everybody reacts. And here it is, God raised Jesus from the dead. It's really remarkable. Same singular theme. God raised Jesus. And 6 out of 7 times, the same intro and the same conclusion. You killed, God raised. We are witnesses. Do you understand what's going on here? I know I've been repetitive. Hasn't even been that exciting. But I guarantee that you're going to remember, you killed, God raised, we're witnesses. That's what they wanted. They wanted everybody to remember it. The great weapon that the disciples carried to conquer the world was the message, he is risen. But the message of the resurrection wasn't isolated. It was connected by the death of Christ. You see, the coming of Jesus and his death was now seen by them not as a failure, a colossal failure, in which they were terribly disappointed, but rather now it was viewed as a triumphant act of divine grace. Do you get that they got it? They did. The coming of Jesus was understood now as an act of God by which sinful men are saved. And the early church was not concerned merely with what Jesus had said, but also and primarily with what he had done. The world was to be redeemed by the proclamation of an event. And with the event went the meaning of the event. And setting forth of the event with meaning of the event became the central doctrine of the church. The resurrection is the epicenter of the Christian faith. And that's why that the earliest Christianity, and as we've seen this morning, the earliest Christian preaching focused on one single event, the raising of Jesus from the dead. In fact, George Eldon Ladd writes in A Theology of the New Testament, if the coming of Jesus of Nazareth was the climax of this series of redemptive events, all these redemptive events throughout the Old Testament, his resurrection is the event that validates all that came before. And this is one of my favorites from C.H. Dodd in his book, The Founder of Christianity. He says that the resurrection is not a belief that grew up within the church. It's not something that they manufactured because they needed a living Savior, a teacher who continued to speak to them and guided them. No, it's not a belief that grew up within the church. It's the belief around which the church itself grew up. the given upon which its faith was based. You don't have to commit intellectual suicide when you come to faith in Christ. You just look at one of the most famous accurate historians of antiquity, Dr. Luke. Follow the events in his second gospel, the book of Acts. Say, what are these guys talking about? They're talking about you killed, God raised, we're witnesses. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do what you want with that message, but we don't declare he is risen because we believe it. We declare he is risen because we know it. And it's attested to by hundreds of others. And if you have been someone who has encountered the living Christ and you're trusting him with your whole life, you know the transformation and the certainty of hope that that brings. So today we celebrate Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Oh, that was much better. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that even though we learned as children the harsh lesson of irreversibility, that things can't go backwards, time doesn't go backwards, the words that come out of our mouth can't be reversed. When we hurt people, we can't take that back. Even though we've had that pounded into us since we were children, we thank you that Easter holds out the awesome promise of reversibility, that nothing, not even death, is final, because even that will be reversed. Thank you for that certainty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are someone who has placed your faith in Christ and you have